Welcome to the Week Ahead podcast. I'm joined by my colleague and chief economist, Craig James. I'm market analyst, Steve Daglian, and we're here to preview the upcoming week starting Monday, the 17th of April. Craig, always a pleasure to talk.
And to you too, Steve. It's good to be here.
Thank you, sir. Well, look, taking stock first up, we've had two straight holiday shortened weeks. Hasn't stopped the gains flowing through, though. We've recouped all the declines that we saw in March within 2 weeks. The ASX 200 has only fallen twice in 12 days, which we don't see happen very often, and we're up 4% year-to-date as well. This week just passed, even though it was holiday shortened, there were two main things that received a lot of attention on the part of investors and economists and analysts: US inflation and Aussie jobs. Let's start with US inflation. What did you make of those numbers?
Well, it wasn't a bad result. It didn't blow anyone's socks off, but yes, it wasn't a bad result. When you got a headline measure up just 0.1%, that's quite encouraging. There's still the work to do on the core rate, yes, the underlying rate of inflation, but I think what's clear from the figures is the US is heading in the right direction. So the headline rate of inflation down from 6% to 5%. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about 9% inflation in the United States. So they've made a lot of progress. And I think investors around the world are cottoning on to the fact that central banks, they may actually pull this one off. They may actually slow the economies down, get inflationary pressures under control, and not send us into significant recessions. And I think that's quite encouraging.
Well, and this US inflation data went from 6% down to 5% over the year to March for the headline figures, which I believe is the lowest it's been in about 2 years or close to it. As you said, the core inflation still, I guess, red hot and sticky, though. It's largely in line with expectations. So that's perhaps taking a little longer to come down. Do you think it's made any difference for what the Fed might do with interest rates in 3 weeks' time when they meet?
I think the Fed is still an open question. So more than likely that they'll just do one more interest rate hike and just leave it at that. But from the minutes of the last Federal Reserve meeting, there were a number of members that indicated, well, perhaps we should be getting closer to doing that pause now. And they said that in light of some of the regional bank failures. So we're getting close to where the Fed wants to be. If it's not this time, yes, it's probably next time, which they'll move to the sidelines, and they're making good progress.
And as far as what markets are pricing in, it's dropped back a little as far as what markets think the likelihood of a small rate hike is, but it's still close to a 70% chance, it seems, of a small rate hike in early May. As far as jobs data goes here in Australia, that was much stronger than what many economists had expected.
Yeah, looking for around about 20-odd thousand, perhaps 30,000 jobs. It's more than 50,000, a 53,000 increase. The unemployment rate, still broadly steady, the 3.5%. Is that such a bad outcome? We want to see people with jobs. We want to see good job opportunities. We want to see good wage increases as well. So that's not something that we'd see as a negative development. It's only when the wage pressures go to such an extent that prices rise as well and we get caught in a wage price spiral. There's nothing like that, on the cards at present. But when you think about it, if somebody's got a job or has the prospect of getting a job and or has the prospect of getting a wage increase, that's really positive for a lot of consumer stocks, for housing stocks, a lot of businesses in the economy. And of course, you only got to go back to the National Australia Bank Business Survey to look at the measure of business conditions. And they're saying, yeah, business conditions are good at the moment. Well and truly above the longer term average. And that's because people have got jobs, they are continuing to spend. We've just got to manage the equivalence of supply and demand, keep that in balance, keep the downward pressure on inflation, and we will have a virtuous economy.
Well, do you think, though, to play devil's advocate here, don't you think that the stronger jobs data, though, might open the door for another rate hike in early May? Because yesterday, the chances, as far as what markets were pricing in, about a 10% chance of a rate hike in May after pausing in April, which seemed to help markets and was music to the ears of many homeowners or those that are paying off a mortgage, at least. What difference do you think this has made for what's ahead for rates?
Well, there's ebbs and flows. We will get, you know, the positive indicators, we'll get the negative indicators, but we've just got to take the evidence as it comes. And the Australian economy is in very, very good shape. If we've got a hike, you know, so one more time to keep it in good shape, so be it. But if you looked at a level of even 3.85% for the cash rate and looked at that over a long period of time, you know, so going way back into history, say, well, interest rates are still relatively low, yes, in comparison to what they've been, yes, in the past. So wages is the major focus. Unfortunately, in terms of wages, we've got to wait until May for the SEEK advertised salary index, and we've got to wait until May for the wage price index. So it will be business surveys which we're going to be closely watching just to see whether, yes, the wages still remain in balance or whether there's something to worry about there.
And then the inflation report, the quarterly CPI, which will be out in 2 weeks' time on the 26th of April, you'd think that would be the last perhaps piece of the puzzle for the Reserve Bank before making a decision in May.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, so the one that the straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, so that it will be the one that will determine whether rates will go up or not.
Let's look at the upcoming week, because it is significantly quieter as far as important indicators here on the Aussie economy. Do you think there's still anything of value coming up this week that investors should be on the lookout for?
Well, it's probably fair to say that there's no top shelf economic data to be released in Australia, but the minutes of the last Reserve Bank board meeting that's happening on Tuesday, we want to delve into it, dive into the data. Dive into, you know, sort of get a little bit more insight as to what the officials were thinking at the time. You know, so whether there was any inclination, you know, sort of continuing to lift rates at that meeting, and how strong that inclination was. So that one's important.
Because that was also, Craig, sorry to interrupt, but that was the most closely watched Reserve Bank board meeting that we've had in almost a year since they started raising rates back in May 2022. So you'd think there's probably going to be a bit more attention on those minutes than usual, perhaps.
Well, certainly, you know, sort of, they would have had to deliberate, you know, so quite long and, you know, sort of loudly, you know, sort of about whether they decided to pause then or pause later on. You know, they say that monetary policy is art, not science. You know, so it's a question of whether they've got that art right, you know, so whether they've got the timing right, and what sort of factors they took into consideration.
And what else do you think will be important?
Well, I think the Purchasing Managers Index on Friday, so we have these purchasing managers indexes right the way across the globe. We'll have a similar one in terms of the United States. They get two bites of the cherry. They do a preliminary indication for the month, and then they do a final. So we get, you know, sort of fairly up-to-date readings. Purchasing managers at any company should know what's happening at that company. And if you aggregate the evidence, then we should have a good idea about what's happening in the economy. So looking for anything, you know, so dealing with prices, dealing with wages, dealing with the job market, you know, sort of as well more broadly.
And then weekly consumer confidence surveys as well. So we get these out on a weekly basis, obviously, every Tuesday. And we had a bit of a bounce in confidence, broadly speaking, in the prior week because of, you know, interest rates being on hold.
People are still gloomy, though. Yeah, people are downbeat. Yeah, so they might have a job. Yeah, so they might have squirreled away plenty of savings. They're probably planning to buy that luxury car or go away on that luxury cruise. But yeah, so still gloomy. Yeah, so, and I don't think that's going to change too much. Yeah, so this time around. But the Reserve Bank's concerned about spending, and if people have got jobs, the prospect of jobs, wages are increasing. Then what we are going to see is people continue to spend. And the point of balance the major point for the Reserve Bank is to strike that balance between demand and supply.
And how about globally? I mean, China's probably going to be the one to watch on Tuesday with a whole heap of data released.
Yeah, Chinese economic growth figures, they only come around once a quarter. They come around once a quarter, basically, for most countries around the world. We're looking for growth in a bit over 3% in this sort of environment. That would be quite positive. The latest readings that we've got out of China, where they've produced a very good trade balance in terms of the latest figures, and inflation's under control. So they're in the situation at the moment that they could stimulate the economy if they need to. And that would be very, very positive for the Australian economy if that was the case. So watch out for that one fairly closely, just to see whether, you know, so there's any stimulus provider. We've got the Chinese lending rate and the loan prime rate. We've got those fixings which are coming out over the week as well. So, you know, we are in the situation where China could stimulate its economy. But also in terms of the economic growth figures, we'll have the monthly figures on retail spending, production and investment to watch out for as well.
Yeah, so in China, you mentioned inflation, which was a bit softer than what some had expected. I mean, how is China managing to keep inflation low and the rest of the world seems to be struggling with it?
I put a lot of stock on the structural factors that are affecting the job market rather than the cyclical factors. The fact is we've got the baby boomers moving out of the workforce in a lot of countries around the world. We've got it in the UK, we've got it in the United States and some of the European economies as well. A lot of similarities there and tight job markets. And we've got the baby boomers moving out of the system, but we're not seeing the Gen Ys, Gen Zs, millennials filling that gap to the same extent. So what we're seeing is unemployment rates more akin to what they were in the 1970s than what we saw in the 1980s, 90s and noughties. And I think we're going to have to live with unemployment rates somewhere around about 3.5% for some time. It doesn't mean to say that the job market is too tight. It may end up being the new normal. You know, sort of, we just don't know. We're just tracking this one through.
And US earnings, that's going to be continuing, of course, the profit reporting season. That's going to kick off on the 14th of April. So at the time of recording, that's essentially tomorrow. The banks always kick things off. And that means the next 3 weeks is going to be super busy in the US with about 9 in every 10 companies on the S&P 500 out with their earnings. What will you be focused on for the upcoming earnings season next week?
Yeah, just what sort of pressure the companies are under in terms of the commodity prices rising, the supply chain type issues, whether they're being resolved or not. We want to get some early signs of evidence about inflationary pressures moderating. So if we can get that, we can see some scope about what they're doing with some of the cost pressures, whether they're alleviating that by putting off jobs being laid off. That's important yesterday as well. But it is all the environment is all about costs. It's all about jobs. It's all about wages. And but we get to hear from the source of all those jobs and wages and the like by the individual companies.
Yeah, and the expectations are relatively low as well from most forecasts across the market. 5 to 7% decline seems to be quite common as far as earnings across those S&P 500 companies. Also, the big banks will be other big banks early next week that will be out with their results. So the likes of Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Bank of New York, Morgan Stanley. We've got others in the financial space like Blackstone, Amex out with their numbers. So it will be interesting to see if they're managing to continue to grow their lending with all these rate hikes as well. Then Tesla will be out with its results in the upcoming week. That's one of the most traded stocks by CommSec international customers. Netflix, which always gets a lot of media coverage, and then some others like Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble that seem to keep selling stuff regardless what is happening in markets. And LVMH, talking about luxury on the other side of the spectrum, that will also be out with its earnings next week.
And for luxury good makers and manufacturers, it's super important what happens in China. So that's going to be a key focus there. So there's an interplay, I suppose, if you like, for some of those stocks. If Chinese economy is doing well, and it tends to be good for the luxury good makers. Really, we're not expecting too much from the earnings season in the United States. 78 of the Standard & Poor's 500 companies have negatively guided. Downgraded their expectations, and 28% have given positive guidance. So that's according to FactSet.
And then you'll often get some that under promise, over deliver, perhaps with a better result coming out. So that will also be potentially something that could impact markets and stocks and how they respond to their results. Quarterly updates as well here in Australia in the upcoming week. It's going to be the case really for the rest of the month, where many of the mining and energy stocks will be telling investors how much they've dug out of the ground essentially and how much they're selling. So Rio Tinto, Santos, Evolution Mining will be some of the big names in that resource space. But we've also got the Bank of Queensland out with its half-year earnings, and then others in different areas releasing some quarterly updates, likes of Brambles, toll road operator, Atlas Arteria, Auckland Airport, Challenger. So that's always going to be interesting for us to look at here and to see how these companies are doing.
Well, you know, you're not going to be bored, I think, yes, over the next couple of weeks. And yes, investors have got plenty to watch out for. And I think the key question that an investor or a trader needs to ask is, you know, sort of, so what? Now, you'll get lots of results out and whatnot. You know, so what at the end of the day? Is this a good result or is it a bad result? Should I be buying it? Should I be selling it? You know, sort of come to some decision making in terms of that. And same with the economic data. So what? You know, so let's see what the implications are for the sector that I'm interested in, for the shares that I already own.
Yep, and those, all the pesky holiday shortened weeks are out of the way now, Cray. We get to come back 5 days a week and we can see what markets are doing from Monday all the way through to Friday. So,
well, thank goodness for that.
On that note, have a great week, everyone, and thanks, Craig.
Thank you very much.